From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we bring another in a series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon. Today's devotional is entitled, Following Leads to Honor. The text is John chapter 12, verse 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. The highest service is imitation. If I would be Christ's servant, I must be his follower. To do as Jesus did is the surest way of bringing honor to his name. Let me mind this every day. If I imitate Jesus, I shall have his company. If I am like him, I shall be with him. In due time he will take me up to dwell with him above, if meanwhile I have striven to follow him here below. After his suffering, our Lord came to his throne. And even so, after we have suffered a while with him here below, we also shall arrive in glory. The issue of our Lord's life shall be the issue of ours. If we are with him in his humiliation, we shall be with him in his glory. Come, my soul, pluck up courage and put down thy feet in the blood-marked footprints which thy Lord has left thee. Let me not fail to note that the Father will honor those who follow his Son. If he sees me true to Jesus, he will put marks of favor and honor upon me for his Son's sake. No honor can be like this. Princes and emperors bestow the mere shadows of honor. The substance of glory comes from the Father. Wherefore, my soul, cling thou to thy Lord Jesus more closely than ever.
Thank you.
At this season of the year, the thoughts of God's people turn with special emphasis to the miracle of the Incarnation, the incomprehensible truth of Emmanuel, God with us. To assist you in meditating upon the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, we're happy to offer a unique publication called The 12 Days of Christmas. Written by Roger Ellsworth, an experienced minister and writer, The 12 Days of Christmas is a small paperback book containing 24 devotions, each including a short scripture reading, several paragraphs, and a concluding to think about section that draws lines of application from the text to modern-day life. The book is intended to help the hearts and minds of believers to focus on the wonder of the Incarnation, as well as to encourage unbelievers to come in repentance and faith to Christ. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make this inspirational booklet available free of charge to our listening audience. You may have a copy simply by contacting us by phone, email, or regular mail. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We encourage you to request your free copy of The 12 Days of Christmas while supplies last. As he continues these studies in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns comes to the final verses of chapter 5 as he commences a message entitled The Reign of Grace. In the earlier part of the chapter, Paul pointed out that Adam's sin was imputed to the entire human race, bringing every person under the condemnation of God's law. As we've seen in the previous message, Christ is the federal head of his people and fulfilled the demands of the law and paid its penalty for them by his death on the cross. His righteousness is imputed to those who trust in him. In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns will provide scriptural proofs that grace now reigns for every believer. The first proof is the efficiency of God's plan, which is based upon covenant terms. Now here is Dr. Cairns to begin this message called The Reign of Grace.
We continue in Romans chapter 5, and tonight we read the final section of the chapter, verse 18, to the end of the chapter. Romans chapter 5, verse 18 to 21. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that, as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to these verses from his own precious word for his name's sake. Verse 18, this is where the apostle finishes the job that he began in verse 12. The job of establishing that great truth that as men were constituted sinners by the imputation of Adam's sin, so believers are constituted righteous by the imputation of the righteousness of Christ. You will notice that the verse commences with the word therefore, translating two little Greek words which simply mean so then or consequently. In other words, what follows in the first part of Romans 5:18 is a brief restatement of Paul's central point, taking you all the way back to verse 12, that Adam's sin had the effect of bringing all men under condemnation. So the therefore and the restatement at the beginning of the verse is simply refreshing our memory after the fairly lengthy parenthetical portion, verse 13 through to verse 17. Now, having refreshed our memory, Paul goes on to finish the thought of verse 12. And he says, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. This is the conclusion of that statement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed through upon all men, because all sinned. Now, that's obviously not a complete argument. Wherefore, as by one man, now he finishes it, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. And what a wonderful conclusion this is to Paul's argument. In fact, the statement in verse 18 opens up the way, quite naturally, to a tremendous climax of this chapter. Let me try to point out to you how Paul's thinking is developing here. In verse 18, he's saying simply, as all sinners were condemned in Adam, so all believers are justified in Christ's justification. Notice the word, in Christ's justification. And I'll come back to that in due course. Verse 19 tells us that as Adam's disobedience was imputed to his posterity to constitute them sinners, so Christ's obedience is imputed to all believers to constitute them righteous in the sight of God. Verse 20 has caused a lot of discussion. Why suddenly does the law come in here? Moreover, or it may simply be put, but or now, the law entered that the offense might abound. I think what Paul is saying is here, I have already stated, and this would be a reference back to verse 13, that until the law, sin was in the world. Verse 14, death reigned from Adam to Moses. It seems to me that Paul is saying, you might think that the law was given to counteract the fall. You might think that the law was given to save men from the condemnation of sin. But the opposite is the case. Paul says here, the law entered. It's a lovely word that he uses. Quite literally, the law came in beside. Doesn't say what it came in beside. I think it's obvious that it came in beside the sin. The law came in beside the sin, not to deliver from the sin, but that the offense might abound. However, he ends the verse, where sin abounded through the law, grace, and this is the word that he uses, superabounded over sin. And verse 21, the purpose of God in all this is to replace the reign of sin in death. That's actually how he writes it. It's not merely the reign of sin unto death. It is the reign of sin in death. And God's purpose is to replace the reign of sin in death by the reign of grace through righteousness unto life eternal through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, here's the great climax of the whole argument of Romans chapter 5, verse 12 to the end. Here's the great climax. We started with the imputation of Adam's sin and the reign of death. We conclude with the imputation of Christ's righteousness and the reign of grace. That, for me, sets the theme of these closing verses. The great subject that Paul has in mind in these climactic verses is the reign of grace. And what I want us to do tonight is to look at these four verses and see that they give us four things that prove that grace now reigns. Look at verse 18 and 19, and you will see the first thing that proves that grace now reigns is the efficiency of its plan. As by the offense of one judgment came to all men, and to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men to justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Now, in a nutshell, you've got the plan of God for our justification here. Without repeating myself, too much and going back to what we've already seen, because these verses don't stand in isolation. They stand upon all that we have discovered in the weeks that are past. You'll see that God's plan rests upon His covenant arrangements. I said right at the beginning of our study of this passage that this is a classic passage on covenant theology. I maybe should stop off for a moment here and remind you of something, because this does bother some people. In fact, I have an email, a very gracious email, to answer sometime at the beginning of the week on this very subject. Covenant theology is not to be equated with the theory of infant baptism. Now, many covenant theologians are pedobaptists. God forgive them, but they are. And that's it. However, many covenant theologians are not pedobaptist. Mr. Brehm, in dealing for his master's thesis many years ago, extensively with the whole doctrine of the covenant in Scripture, went to great lengths to show the doctrine, the theology of this, quite apart from two things: pedobaptism and what most people take to be a peculiar eschatology that is linked by many to covenant theology. The heart of covenant theology is God's way of saving sinners. This is the heart of it. It's the plan of God dealing with all mankind in one of two covenant heads, either dealing with them in Adam or dealing with them in Christ. His plan rests upon His covenant arrangements. And He could not have appointed any greater or any better equipped covenant head than He did in the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, if He desired to save us at all, He could not have appointed any other covenant head than the Lord Jesus Christ, because this covenant head is none other than God incarnate. He is the Son of God, but notwithstanding that, He, as John 1 tells us, became flesh. As Hebrews 2 tells us, He took part of the same flesh and blood as we possess. So that, as Paul told the Corinthians, by one man death came into the world, even so by one man would resurrection from the dead come. So, this is our covenant head. He was appointed, but He was not only appointed, He was anointed by God and by His Spirit. Isaiah 61, which the Lord Jesus quoted at the very commencement of His public ministry: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me." Appointed and anointed, endowed with every gift, with every virtue, with every grace, with every power to act for us in the covenant of grace. He stood where Adam fell. Never forget that for Christ, the covenant of grace was a covenant of works, in that He had to perform the righteousness demanded by God. Oh, it was a covenant of grace in that He was appointed to act for us to our salvation, but He had to act. And so Christ was justified on the very same ground on which Adam was condemned. And that is why God has declared Him the righteous one, because He entirely and absolutely obeyed and satisfied the law of God.
Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, founded by Dr. Alan Cairns. Let the Bible Speak is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, produced in Northern Ireland. The Free Presbyterian Church stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the church. For further information about the Free Presbyterian Church, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Or you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America at www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelsch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.